don't worry, that roar you're hearing is not, we've not time traveled, and this is not the hangar deck of a World War II era aircraft carrier. It's just a poor box fan trying to keep up with the 82 degrees here inside the fabulous Horn Studios.
It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we go, off and running on this fifth day of October 2021. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Yes, indeed, indeed. If you should happen to wander by there right this very instant, you know, like if you're listening live, well, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Anatole, Squeaky, and Stockton Larry, and capably moderated by Pinch Hit Midweek Chatroom Utility Moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Kind of confused me there for a minute, Steve, because, dadgummit, you had me thinking it was Wednesday. It's Tuesday. It is. It's Tuesday, the fifth day of October 2021. I am 5 weeks today, 5 weeks from my life-changing, life-altering surgery in Birmingham, Alabama. And thanks for all the good wishes. Yes. Well, like I said, it's noisy in here again because back when the air conditioner died, well, it's still dead. No resurrection for that air conditioner. No, none at all. And so the only way to deal with it is to have the roar in the background, and I'm terribly, terribly sorry about that, but it's either that or, you know, sit here and, you know, fall apart from heat prostration. Anyway. It is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn, and my God, don't we have some Titanic intellect. Nonetheless... Well, thank you. Thank you very kindly to Lee in New York. Give the box fan a cowbell for working hard to keep up. The poor thing's actually running behind. It's a toasty, balmy 85 degrees here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. And we'll get through 3 hours of radio, but might be just a little bit perspiry by the time, 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time rolls around, without a doubt. But thanks go out to our fifth day of the month subscribers. Thanks ever so kindly to Bernice, Batty Boop. Thank you to Kenda in Missouri. Thank you to Kevin in Colorado Springs. Thank you, James in Illinois. Thank you, Roberto. And thanks as well to all of you who are subscribers and help keep this program on the air. It is much appreciated, and it's also the only way that this program continues. Plain simple. So that leaves us with a $300 fundraising goal this evening. We managed to meet Bruce's challenge, so that meant we got off to a good start, and that means that we've got we were covered for yesterday, which was handy because yesterday was goose egg. And nonetheless, we've got. Hopefully, we'll start. We'll keep up now. And I've got to be a bill paying maniac between now and 5 weeks from now, so that I can leave here in good conscience. Actually, leave here in good conscience 4 weeks from now. And just a reminder, I will be once we get where we're going. There will be a couple of programs before surgery, and then it'll be probably at least a week after surgery before I'm able to do any kind of broadcasting. I'm taking a wireless lavalier microphone with me that we can just pin to my little pajama top or whatever, and I'll be able to sort of recline and hopefully talk and not be in a complete drug-addled haze. But then again, you know, if there was ever an opportunity for legitimate, remember Todd Akin? The story about Todd Akin being all dead yesterday, the guy who gave us, if it's a legitimate rape, a woman's body will figure out a way to shut that thing down. Well, if there's ever been a chance for legitimate Limbaugh radio, it may be on the way. Yeah. So depending on what Agnes will tolerate and allow, I may get on the air whacked out of my mind on opioids. So, you know, this could be interesting. Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Thank you. Stockton Larry greeting the chat room. Hi, men. And Robin. Lady. You can say lady. Or woman. That's fine, too. It is, like I said, Titanic Tuesday on the horn. And for this Titanic Tuesday, for anybody who's new to the whole process, you know, we don't sell anything here. You don't have to pay anything to get a subscription. You don't have to. Not everything here is free. And if you'd like to help keep things going, just run over to HeadOn.live, and the interface for kicking in is right there on the main page. Okay. Let's see. Now that we've got all the So. Titanic Tuesday, right? Yeah. From time to time in the past, I have shared dispatches from a gang of punks, thugs, footpads, cut purses, and generally unsavory individuals called Americans for Limited Government. Mm-hmm. Now, that dumbass organization is much older than MAGA-tree. It actually goes back to the days when your average right-wing reactionary dead-ender and hard case wasn't a Donald Trump fan. They didn't know that Donald Trump was going to be their savior and hero yet. No, they didn't. Instead, back then, they were just teabaggers, which is to say they were a gang of disaffected old school birchers, you know the drill: birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, birchers, booger eaters, and libertarians and whatnot. And they're for limited government. Gotta have small limited government, because that's what the framers wanted. Even though I don't even know what the framers, I don't know why we talking about people who frame pictures for a living, but the framers wanted limited small government. Ah, sure they did. And so today, I get these semi-literate, semi-coherent, outraged dispatches from Merkins for Limited Government from time to time. And because I'm used to dealing with them, well, I can translate them. And I got a dandy today, and it was perfect for this Titanic Tuesday. You know, full steam ahead into that there iceberg, Titanic right-wing intellect, and doggies, this is some. Merkins for Limited Government President Richard Manning issued a statement in reaction to U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland mobilizing the Federal Bureau of Investigation against parents who speak out against public school board policies. The Biden administration has gone into full attack mode against the First Amendment right to petition the government as his attorney general has declared that parents opposing critical race theory before their local school boards should be treated as terrorists under the Patriot Act. Well, good for you, Richard Manning. Oh, we're so proud. Oh, God, what a maggot. So, the subject of what Attorney General Merrick Garland was talking about is the fact that vicious, hateful, ignorant, stupid, pig-eyed, maggot mobs have been descending on school board meetings, in many cases, not even having children in the schools, and in some instances, not even being from that school district, to, you know, bark and grunt and hoot and scream and carry on and bellow and holler and moan and wail about critical race theory. Mm-hmm. And all because, all the while, bear in mind that critical race theory is not taught in any public schools in Merca. Critical race theory is an upper level graduate or law school sort of curriculum that is, curiously enough, taught only in graduate or law school. Not the pre-K to grade 5 elementary school there in Busted Knuckle, Arkansas. No. This thing was titled "Biden's Attack on Public School Parents Cannot Stand." Of course, hearkening back to George H.W. Bush, the son of the guy who got busted in the Trading with the Enemies Act for giving financial support to the Nazis. When he said, "Saddam Hussein, this will not stand." Right. Yeah. What they're upset about is something that Merrick Garland said yesterday. He issued, and the article is in Politico if you want to go and look it up. Attorney General Merrick Garland gave an order to the FBI to get together with local school board and county leaders and state leaders in the weeks to follow to discuss what Attorney General Garland called a disturbing spike in harassment, intimidation, and threats of violence against educators and school board members. You might think for instance, remember the woman in the one school board meeting hollering about a book and repeatedly barking about anal sex, and saying to an actual school board, "I've never had anal sex. I don't want to have anal sex." Yeah, her. Or any number of school board meetings that have been attacked for discussions of mask mandates to protect children from, primarily dirty, filthy, unvaccinated anti-vaxxers and anti-maskers, you know, the ones at least who haven't yet won the Herman Cain Award, because there's a lot of them. And I think it's going to turn into a thing where we talk about, or at least feature, one Herman Cain Award winner every evening. I've got one teed up right now. But Merrick Garland, at least for once using the powers of the FBI for good, is aware of the fact that these people are being weaponized into these school board meetings over information that is, and I want to use the correct legal term, utter bullshit. In Politico, they quote the memorandum from Attorney General Garland saying, "Threats against public servants are not only illegal, they run counter to our nation's core values. those who dedicate their time and energy to ensuring that our children receive a proper education in a safe environment deserve to be able to do their work without fear for their safety. And the Politico article goes on to point out that people are behaving like troglodytes and barely human knuckle-walking, well, maggots. Well, that's who they are. They're not behaving like that. That's who they are. But saying that there's a notable escalation of the government response to school board meetings packed with protesters who denounce COVID-19 mask mandates, political interpretations of critical race theory, and other highly politicized issues that affect classroom learning and school safety. And what really, really set them off, because nothing gets the maggot right wing worked up like referring to them as for what they are, namely domestic terrorists who commit hate crimes. The National School Boards Association wrote to President Biden last week and said, America's public schools and its education leaders are under an immediate threat. These threats and acts of violence are affecting our nation's democracy at the very foundational levels, causing school board members, many of whom are not paid, to resign immediately and or discontinue their service after their respective terms. And so Merrick Garland is actually responding. But the maggots and the former teabaggers just really, really despise it when someone points out that they are, in fact, domestic terrorists. You know, the same people who attacked the country and constitutional governance on January the 6th, 2021, and who are now being roundly and soundly prosecuted and given things like 12 days in jail, again, for committing an insurrection against constitutional governance in the United States of America. But there we are. So, the mouth-breathing knuckle-walkers are having a conniption. Meanwhile, the mouth-breathing knuckle-walkers and Americans have a right to hold election officials accountable for their decisions. Americans have a right to petition government at all levels for redress. Americans have a right to speak out and organize in favor or against public policies. The attempt by Garland to criminalize these actions is grounds for his impeachment. Oh, dear me. I don't think you can impeach an attorney general. I mean, maybe you can. Possibly? Is that a thing? Well, maybe. Okay. Under a broad interpretation of the impeachment clause. All right. But that generally doesn't happen. Why not call for his criminal prosecution? Because there's no crime. That's why. Jesus, these people. Meanwhile, the Merkins for limited government continue their barking and grunting and hooting. Governors, state legislatures, county commissions, and school boards must denounce the characterization of the very taxpayers who pay for the schools as being terrorists because they support Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream vision. That's not why they're showing up in Williamson County, Tennessee. No. These maggots are showing up in places like Williamson County, Tennessee because they're worried about seahorse sex. We've covered that story ad nauseam. Yeah, I get that. Ron and Raleigh says, what you have to understand, CRT is anything white folks think that it is. It'd be nice if these shit sticks would be forced to define what CRT is using the definition that Kimberly Crenshaw, the woman who started the curriculum, says it means. Did you hear about the 26-year-old that ran down a group of Black Lives Matter protesters, injuring several that a grand jury didn't indict because of a lack of evidence? Yeah, I did. Sometimes the grand jury refuses to eat or indict the ham sandwich. Jesus. But the bottom line is they're content that, and Americans for Limited Government understand that they are part of this problem. Americans for Limited Government is a domestic terrorist organization because they continue to try to weaponize their mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking followers into trying to gain political concessions through violence and acts of violence and threats of violence. There's a big difference between going to a school board meeting and getting up and politely airing one's position versus, well, screaming and carrying on and making threatening phone calls and things like that, which the maggots have, you know, done. Right. But they link to something at a website, no, really, called Am Greatness. I Am Greatness. A scrawl by some neo-maxi Zoom dweeby by the name of Eric Lindrum, who found himself a wingnut welfare job writing crap like this. He graduated from the University of California, Santa Barbara, where he was a secretary of the College Republicans and the founding chairman of the SCU's Young Americans for Freedom chapter. Freedom! Wolverines! He is interned for Young America's Foundation, the Heritage Foundation, and the White House. And his claim to fame is working on the campaign for the re-election of Congressman Devin Nunes in California's 22nd district in 2018. And with a resume like that, his little bio at the end of his screed says, he is currently a co-host of the fill in the blank podcast. Yeah, because over in right-wing world, when you are absolutely unemployable, well, you can always get some right-wing hack organization to front your podcast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he apparently was upset about the fact that in Loudoun County, Virginia, an asshole by the name of John Tiggies had the police called on him when he behaved like a dickhead in front of the school board. And the school board is called the aforementioned police. But he's upset. Oh, he's upset, Eric Lindrum is, and he is a titanic intellect. Garland baselessly accused such parents of making threats against public service, that's in Dick Finger quotes, which he claims run counter to our nation's core values. Those who dedicate their time and energy to ensuring that our children receive a proper education in a safe environment deserve to be able to do their work without fear for their safety. Right. And Garland's threats, but you can go and read the actual statement for sake. There are no threats in it. You know, I'll get you, maggot, and your little dog, too. There are no threats. I know, he interned at the White House. And doing all that interning is another way of saying couldn't find a paying gig. He's interned at the White House, Ralphs asks. Don't you mean was interned at the White House, Ralphs? Yeah. Oh, well played, Ralphs. Well played. But no, there were threats. But Garland's threats come after months of protests against various SCU boards across the country as parents have increasingly learnt about strict new measures and radical agendas being pushed by SCUs onto their cheering. Mm-hmm. Strict new measures. That means requiring children to wear masks so they won't get a disease that will kill them deader than Pharaoh's cat. Or that they can take home and kill Grammy and Grandpa deader than Pharaoh's cat. Especially if they're unvaccinated. And they, I love you, Grammy. Yeah, right. Strict new measures, radical agendas, and at the heart of these protests, oh Lord, here we go, which often take place at public school board meetings and sometimes go viral, are mask and vaccine mandates for cheering, the promotion of critical race theory, and the inclusion of graphic lessons about sexuality. And then the seahorse wraps its tail around the tail of the other seahorse, and they bump their bellies together while they're hanging on to a piece of seaweed. Ooh-wee, that's dirty! Oh, God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, what's his name again? Eric Lindumrum explains critical race theory to the people with the single-digit IQs who read or attempt to read his shit. And, Critical race theory is the far left and debunked claim that all white people are automatically racist, and America is a systemically racist nation at its very founding. Well, no, critical race theory does not say that all white people are automatically racist, but it does say that we were certainly a racist country at our founding, only because we were. Jesus, please. To make a statement like that and claim that that's a false statement is to completely negate the history of the founding of this country. Virtually every bit of hard manual labor that was done in this country from the Pennsylvania Maryland line south was done by enslaved people, including building the, you know, capital of the United States. Right? Yeah. CRT has been used to try to shame white students and make them feel inferior to their non-white classmates. It's the word we're looking for here, Eric Lindumdrum, is equal to. Maybe there's a purpose in saying or asserting that it says that its goal is to teach white children that they are not superior to any other ethnicity, because that would be a noble and laudable thing, because to teach white children that they are superior to other ethnicities is called white supremacy, and white supremacy is dirty, filthy, nasty, really rotten, awful. But that's not all Eric Lindumdrum is worried about. Lessons about sexuality have stemmed from the radical LGBTQ agenda. Hooey, there they go, fundraising on our backs again. We got some big backs. Which seeks to push homosexuality on young children. Push it. There's a song in there somewhere. Of course, you can't push homosexuality on anybody because one either is or is not gay. Obvious, one might think, but, you know, not to a Republican maggot voter, no. As well as the scientifically false notion of transgenderism. Ism. Yeah, like communism. See? And Nazism and fascism. See, they's all isms. And if it's an ism, it's bad. Right. Transgenderism claims that there are more than two genders and anyone can choose their gender at any time. Filthy, fucking, ignorant, drop-dead, stupid liar. Nobody's choosing any genders around here. And biological sex is not the same as gender, and biological sex and gender are not the same as gender identity. But see, to try to explain something like that to a fucking maggot is a, well, it's a collapsing bad infrastructure bridge too far. Yeah. And, of course, there are cultures where there have been more than two genders. Indigenous American culture comes to mind. Polynesian culture comes to mind. And I don't see the maggots boycotting Hawaii. Do you? No? Mm-mm. There's that one famous story that the Jesuits used to laugh, noting that in Polynesian cultures, Polynesian languages did not have a word for homosexuality until the Jesuits taught it to them. That's kind of a thing. Oh, God. But see, if you don't have, if you're a maggot, I know, don't even think about it. It's a nightmare. But if you're a maggot and you don't know better, just to read something like this by Eric Lindundrum, Dumdrum, you might, it's unchallenged and it has no nuance to it. And so it just makes it, the thing about learning to hate and the thing about being weaponized angry is it is absolutely necessary for there to be no nuance whatsoever and no explanation. So that if we assume just for a moment that maybe Emery and Marvelline sitting in their matching Barca loungers down at the Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Court and Country Club, reading that back and forth to each other, well, Marvelline, I be Swan. It says here that they is people in Merca what thinks people can choose what their gender is. Emery, what is this world coming to? It's just unbelievable. Maybe we should ask Pastor Whackbottom about it next Sunday after the sermon. He'll know. He knows everything. God, it hurts. It hurts. But speaking of this question of dividing America and, well, there's a story. Of course there is. You remember Ahmaud Arbery? Young black man doing nothing more than going out for a run. White people gunned him down in Georgia, and they almost got away with it. It was along about the same time that shortly thereafter the murder of George Floyd took place. Yeah. Well, there's this thing in trial law. When you're going into a trial and you got something that you especially super bad want people, your jury, not to see, because you know that the jury seeing it might make things bad for your client. Well, you file this thing called a motion in limine. L-I-M-I-N-E. A motion in limine. And it's a way of saying, Judge, we can't let the jury see this thing here, because if they see this thing here, not me, my client is fucked. And so one of the men who is accused of hunting and killing Ahmaud Arbery has, via his pettifogger, filed a motion in limine in his murder trial, asking the court to forbid the jury from seeing any photographs of his Georgia license plate. He had a vanity Georgia license plate. Travis McMichael did. Mm-hmm. Oh, and speaking of Confederates, this is a special dispatch to Dave number 11. Yes, Loudermilk is hilarious. We watched several episodes last night, and there was much, much chortling and no small amount of guffawing going on, including the phrase, what was it? Bearded lumberjack Confederates. Well, Travis McMichael looks like one of the, I swear he was one of the bearded lumberjack Confederate generals. Bearded lumberjack Confederate generals. He was one, he had to be one of them in that one particular scene, Dave. He had a vanity license plate, Travis McMichael did, and he had, it had the Confederate battle flag emblem on it. They were on the Travis McMichael's truck at the time that he allegedly participated in murdering Ahmaud Arbery. And Travis McMichael and his pettifoggers don't want the jury to see that because they don't want the jury to realize that maybe Travis McMichael acted in in accordance or acted like someone we might expect to act who was driving around with an image of a Confederate battle flag on his license plate. So he doesn't want the jury to see his Confederateness. Yeah. The defense was going to try to put up the he crazy defense. Sorry, I'm just speaking plainly here. And the judge said, no, his mental health records can't be brought into trial as evidence by the defense. Right. The judge held that there is no evidence that the victim was suffering from any mental health issue or had otherwise decompensated on February 23rd, 2020, the date that Ahmaud Arbery was allegedly murdered. Mm-hmm. So, look, Confederates, right? Wow. Other defendants include William Roddy Bryan, who joined the pursuit and said, hee-haw, and turned on his video and recorded Travis McMichael blowing away Ahmaud Arbery, who, of course, was out on a run and had no gun. Point blank, Travis McMichael shot him. Right. No mental health evidence about Ahmaud Arbery comes into the trial. Mm-mm, no. Because they were going to try to slander him and slur him that way. But, well, it's a pity Travis McMichael's maybe in the stir, because maybe he could otherwise be down hooting, barking, grunting at some school board somewhere about the critical race theory. That is a hell of a band. Damn right, Dave. Bearded lumberjack Confederate generals. Loudermilk, really, if you can. It's irreverent, and it comes from one of the Farrelly brothers, so you know what to expect. You know, the same folks that gave us Me, Myself, and Irene, and Something About Mary, and a few others. It's funny, and it's set in Seattle, and yeah, it's really quite good. Oh, by the way, speaking of ruddy-faced, bearded, Confederate general-looking people, well, today in Washington, D.C., the Capitol Police arrested a ruddy-faced, bearded, Confederate-looking fella. Oddly enough, they have a way of turning out to be Trump voters. Capitol Police saw an illegally parked vehicle, an SUV, in front of the Supreme Court. And Deputy Chief Jason Bell said, our officers immediately responded. The man refused to talk, made a statement to the effect of, the time for talking is done. Now, just because someone looks like a ruddy-faced, bearded Confederate general doesn't mean that they necessarily come from below the Mason-Dixon line. Dale Paul Melvin, aged 55, comes from Kimball, Michigan. Court records, according to the Law and Crime blog, court records from St. Clair County, which includes the town, show several alleged traffic violations and one domestic violence case under that name. Then there's his Facebook page, Dale Paul Melvin's. And it says that it shows that he is a decided supporter of Nitwit Nero. And he doesn't think much of Barack Obama. And, you know, that's sort of required. He hates Hillary. Mm-hmm. And Dale Paul Melvin, who's old enough to know better, who says, time for talking's past. Only in the wrong, in a much different accent than I'm no good at. Well, Also today, there was a court appearance of Floyd Ray Roseberry, who back in August made bomb threats outside the Library of Congress when he drove his pick-up truck onto a sidewalk and then proceeded to live stream a bunch of burbling and garping and glopping again. Joe Biden! Over on, of course, Facebook. Yeah. Let's see. What did he have on his Facebook page? A picture of Bill Clinton. I chose other women over Hillary. You should too. And then Iron Horse Patriots like and share. It shows Barack Obama going down a toilet. Like and share if you would flush. A picture of Whoopi Goldberg and Rosie O'Donnell. If Trump gets elected, we're leaving the country. Like and share to support their plan. Picture of Hillary. Share if you are an American who wants this woman in prison. How to irritate Obama. Because they think they live rent-free, these maggots do, in Barack Obama's head. 1. Own a gun. 2. Have a job. 3. Read Constitution. Oh, Lord. Yeah, no word on the charges against Dale Paul Melvin. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Capitol Police had to use a flashbang to get him out of his SUV parked in front of the Supreme Court. Yeah. Oh well. I didn't know that. Thanks for the background. Stephen of York says, Kimball, Michigan, as I recall, is a hotbed of the Michigan militia. It wouldn't surprise me. Probably by the time we get around to the podcast, maybe Joy in Ann Arbor will check in and maybe fill in a little bit more detail. Probably Confederate flags flying all over Kimball, Michigan. Wouldn't surprise me. No. Heritage, not hate. Ron in Raleigh says, these old boys are just showing their Southern pride. The Civil War was about states' rights, not slavery. Yeehaw! Call BR549. Right. Mm-hmm. Then John in Central PA asks, you think Travis McMichael and his pig dad voted for Dear Leader? Well, I don't. They might have been arrested at the time. I don't know how Georgia feels about... Well, wait a minute, these white folks, they probably took them to the polls and then took them to Burger King after. Do you think they voted for Dear Leader? I think they probably wanted to, at the very least. Right. Titanic CRT Intellect, Lee in New York, says, maybe they hate cathode ray tube televisions. Possible with that level of intellect. Yeah, I don't think CRT means cathode ray tube anymore, but that could just be me. Lord, it goes on and on and on. Thank you, Jude. That's awfully sweet. Your monotone readings of The Truly Lost are absolutely brilliant, Robin Deere, as each flawlessly captures the tonal flatline of the unexamined mind. Plus, it offers a forum for the community to love you more by providing that unique touch of needed humor. God, we have to laugh, Sister Jude. We have to laugh. Or otherwise, we'll just open the microphone and we could all just cry for 3 hours. Because some of this shit's frightening. It is. No doubt about it. And it goes on and on and on. Yeah, I'm going to get to that, I hope, Flavio. Remind me later. Because this stuff goes... let's put it this way. They're not going to be teaching no critical race theory at Oak Ridge High School in Conroe, Texas. Conroe, Texas is a suburb of Houston. Yeah. And the principal there is Anthony Levecki. And he's done got himself in a little bit of hot water because they had 90s throwback day at Oak Ridge High School there in Conroe. And Anthony Lebecki, well, he wasn't real happy about some of the way some of the students dressed for 90s throwback day. I bet you can guess which students he wasn't happy about.
Oak Ridge North High School today, dozens of students took part in a sit-in. The demonstration was sparked by an incident on campus just last week. KPRC2's Devin Clark is live now at that Conroe ISD school. And Devin, those students are upset about comments they say were made by their principal.
Chris, those students say what was supposed to be a day of fun quickly turned sour when the principal here at Oak Ridge High School made culturally insensitive comments last Thursday. Well, today, the principal apologized, but it's clear that the incident has lingering effects.
It's embarrassing. It's frustrating.
During 90s throwback day at Oak Ridge High School last Thursday, Principal Anthony Lebecki came under fire for making comments some say he shouldn't have.
We got people posing for pictures, looking like they're from Dr. Dre in the 90s. I'm not sure that's why the look we're going for. Doesn't make our school look good.
Grammy award-winning rapper Dr. Dre was listed as part of this year's Super Bowl halftime show lineup the same day Lebecki made the comment. But some students say the comparison was not meant as a compliment.
He said that it was unacceptable and it was a problem. And then when he was walking around the school and he said that this was his worst year, being his worst day being a principal because of the way that we dressed.
And that's racial profiling. That's literally the definition. And for us to express that to him and be constantly ignored, there had to be something, action taking place.
After demanding an apology, today about 100 students gathered in a common area and sat or kneeled in solidarity as part of a peaceful protest. Around the same time, Quanell X and other activists were joined by parents for a meeting with school officials.
We hope that this principal and this school district will learn from this incident, be more mindful how you speak about someone else's culture.
Yeah, I mean, it,
public apology.
And yeah, Anthony Lebecki, I mean, he's a white man, but he doesn't understand that maybe not all that long back, he wasn't that white. Because whiteness is a thing that is conferred by the overarching white supremacist society. And racism and xenophobia against, Italian people, Greek people and the Hispanic people. Yeah, it's not that far in the distance, but I guess nobody told Principal Lebecki. People running around here dressed like Dr. Dre. The best part of that is that they actually posted in that news article, the news piece from whatever TV station that was, the local NBC affiliate. They showed a picture of Dr. Dre, who looks like a really plain, not particularly outlandish black man, I'm hard pressed to figure out. If one went to school dressed as Dr. Dre, based on the photographs that have been published, how could you tell they were in costume? He just looks like a black guy. And by looks like a black guy, I mean looks like he could be in the congregation of any AME church on any given Sunday. Oh, God. These people, they can't help. Is that it? They just can't help themselves. I don't know. Thank you, Megan. That's so sweet. Sorry I've been away, Megan says. Congratulations on your upcoming surgery. May it go smoothly and may your recovery be swift and uncomplicated. Thank you. In the realm of sharing good news, and this is cowbell worthy, I found out last Friday that I've been accepted into graduate school. I start in the spring term next year. I'll be going back to get a Master's of Science in Criminal Justice. Wish me luck. All the luck, Megan. All the luck. We are all so very proud for you. That is just wonderful, wonderful news. If you care to share, at which school will you be pursuing said master's degree? That's going to be a bunch of hard work, but I know you can do it because you're freaking awesome, Megan. Principal Levecki, Stephen, New York, says, honestly, the fact that he actually knows who Dr. Dre is might make his brain salvageable. Yeah, he doesn't look like a particularly old guy. He might have actually heard Dr. Dre at some point in time. 90s throwback day. I mean, I was there during the 90s. Let's see, I turned 30 early in the 90s. I was not at all into my geezerhood by the time the 90s came to an end. All our kids were born either in the late 80s or the 90s, and I wasn't completely divorced from the culture, and I certainly wasn't standing out in the yard yelling at clouds or telling kids to get off my lawn. And I'm just kind of wondering what it means to dress up like 90s throwback day, black or white or Hispanic. Because there was a whole lot of the 90s that was, I mean, you remember grunge? Grunge was just, a response to the hair bands of the late 80s. So bands just took the stage in ratty old flannel shirts and blue jeans that hadn't been washed, the Nixon administration, and shampoo for white guys was decidedly out of fashion. What is the, help me out here because I'm a little culturally bereft. I know what it would look like for white dudes, but what does 90s throwback need a little help here. I'm trying to figure out why there's even a 90s throwback day to begin with. Okay, Snoop. All right, I get that. But, wow. Sometimes whiteness white frustration just has to find a way out anywhere that it possibly can. But then there's this. I'm really... This is going to be a weird season for me, and I'm not trying to talk about this constantly, but this will be the strangest, most non-typical autumn I've ever been through. Remember, autumn will only end in, December 21st, December 23rd, with the winter solstice, and the days get shorter and shorter and shorter, and then winter solstice, I'll start feeling better because the days will get longer and longer and longer. I like that. But with autumn, of course, comes the annual rite promulgated over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda of, you can't start this before Halloween, people. But yes, the war on Christmas has begun over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. And you know who's leading the war on Christmas this year? That's right, Dr. Fauci! Dr. Fauci's leading the war on Christmas. How do I know? Because those three idiots over at Fox and Fiends done told me so.
Nobody wants to work in the Cabbage Patch Factory.
So no wonder Dr. Fauci's about to cancel Christmas. We're not going to have any presents anyway, so it's going to really work out. Well, by the way, let's just clamp down on those college
students. Dr. Seuss with the Grinch.
Right.
Dr. Fauci.
Right.
Dr. Seuss, not a real doctor, but he does seem smart.
And he was canceled.
Right.
You know, I got rid of the bottle of rot gut tequila and the swirly straw here in the studio a long time back, but I'm really sometimes, lately, I'm questioning the wisdom of having done so, because that and a slide whistle would have made that a lot easier to cope with. And Dr. Fauci, or, I mean, Dr. Seuss, who's not a real doctor, who got canceled, says whoever the latest attack blonde who has to sit between Steve Ducey and whoever, Tweedledum and Tweedledumber, and probably feel real creepy about it as they ogle her and ugh. Mm-hmm. Dr. Fauci is going to cancel Christmas. Now, there's a reference out there, and it's an old Richard Pryor routine in which he makes, I think he makes reference to his heart attack. It might be on Wanted Live in Concert. And he says something, and he's talking about a heart attack, and he says, next thing you know, it's cancel Christmas. Brian Kilmeade and Steve Ducey, I'm not willing to give them credit for having sat around in their buddy's Ford Pinto back in the late 70s, early 80s, smoking Mexican ditch weed that was more seed than weed, and listening to Richard Pryor albums. I just don't see that happening. I don't. So I can only assume that they really think that Dr. Fauci canceled Christmas. Not a real doctor. Lee in New York asked, do they think Dr. Pepper's a real doctor? No, but they trust Gene Simmons because, never mind. He's Dr. Love. Help me. Asa asking, you figure the maggots will lose their minds once they find out Dre and Snoop are doing the halftime show in February? Well, I like the report pointed out, Principal Lebecki complained about students looking like Dr. Dre on the same day that the NFL announced that Snoop and Dre would be headlining the Super Bowl halftime show. The subconscious is a funny thing. Maybe that's where it came from. Maybe he'd been watching Sports Center in the teacher's lounge or something. But Jesus, Dr. Fauci, he's about to cancel Christmas. Dr. Seuss, not a real doctor, but he does seem smart. And he was canceled. Curiously, you can still buy green eggs and ham in virtually any bookstore and all over the place online, but no. Nobody wants to work in a cabbage patch factory. This because there are product shortages. But it's not just related to Christmas toys, no. Every now and then, just going through the store, and I figure out they come unbidden, and it's sort of impromptu, and so my latest unicorn hunt is for track suits. Damn it, says Brother Deacon Asa. Okay, it's track suits. Is that it? All right, thank you for that cultural help, Brother Deacon Asa. Track suits. Adidas tracksuits, maybe? I love me some Adidas. But it turns out, at least here, I don't know how it is where you are, but my latest unicorn hunt is the spicy hot V8. Every now and then I go on these little kicks, and I like spicy hot V8. And the other day I was in Kroger's, and I was in Walmart, and then that was 0 for 2 on spicy hot V8, and I stopped at the Wiggling Pig, and stopped at a couple of convenience stores thinking, well, maybe I could get a few bottles of the overpriced single-serving plastic bottle. No. No. And finally, today, back in Kroger's, way back in the dim recesses of the shelf, I found two little eight packs of the 5.5-ounce cans of spicy hot V8. You know, because that's a full day's serving of vegetables. Yeah, I've always been suspicious about that, but I feel better about it. But all kinds of crazy stuff. Because COVID has... COVID has messed up supply chains from Dan to Beersheba, as the saying once went. What's that? Okay. our pal O-Pipe Down says, you know, Dr. Dre, the kind of students who might grow up to wear a tan suit. Not a tan suit. God, we were talking about tan suits last night. And what a rousing conversation that was. I just loved that. But she asks, did that principal hope they would dress like his role model, Kurt Cobain? Now, let's not go gooning on Kurt Cobain. I'm so old I can remember when we had a group of kids made their way into the juvenile justice system because they had boosted one of their granny or grandpa's cars. They all entered into a conspiracy to clean out everybody, all their parents and grandparents' change jars. And they lit out from, that's right, Central West Virginia in the car that they'd boosted from Granny or Grampy. And they were going to road trip to Washington to see Kurt Cobain's grave. It was a simpler, more innocent time, so we didn't send them to Guantanamo or anything like that. And I remember thinking at the time, I mean, you know, I dug the Doors music, but I never wanted to hijack a plane to fly to Paris and visit Père Lachaise Cemetery because Jim Morrison's there. But then I caught myself being a geezer. And, you know, barely 30 years old, and I had to check my geezerness. Yeah. Right. So, the war on Christmas is on. And not surprising, because Nitwit Nero had said in a speech not long before that
people are saying Merry Christmas again.
No, really. At a speech he made in September, Nitwit Nero said
people are saying Merry Christmas again.
Have you heard any Merry Christmases yet? I haven't. And frankly, I would worry about anybody who said Merry Christmas to me. Because I'd think that maybe they were not well-oriented to time and place. You know, the kind of thing that gerontologists and neurologists ask about when they're asking about person, man, woman, TV. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the whole Anthony Fauci cancels Christmas stems from one stupid thing. Last Sunday, he was on CBS, and he was interviewed, and they said, well, Dr. Fauci, do you think families will be able to safely gather for Christmas? And all Dr. Fauci said was, it's just too soon to tell, which is not exactly a crazy thing to say in September. Or early October, as it were. Especially in a country that continues to refuse to fully vaccinate. So that there are certain among us who continue to propagate and spread the virus. Back to Dr. Dre. Ron and Raleigh says, as I remember, Dr. Dre and the members of NWA favored throwback jerseys and such, baggy jeans, and the popular Air Jordans that they could afford. Jeez. White people. Okay, photo of Dr. Dre and the other members of NWA. Oh my God, they're so scary! I mean, there they are. Ice Cube. And they're wearing... No, not that. Not an L.A. Kings and an L.A. Raiders and an L.A. Dodgers baseball cap. No. Or was it the gold chains? Maybe it was the Nike t-shirt. Y'all looking like Dr. Dre. Well, thank God they didn't have 70s throwback day, because Principal Lavecki would have been having a conniption. Y'all running around here looking like Dr. J. See what I did there? Rhymed Dr. Dre and Dr. J. Julius Erving. Yeah? Yeah? A little love, please? Oh, God. And then, because it's Titanic Tuesday, oddly enough, Stephanie Grisham is not getting a lot of love. That's right, Randy Radar. It's okay. Everything's going to be all white. I'm dreaming of a white, and I mean white, Christmas. Because everyone knows that Santa Claus is white. Hey, Meg and Kelly. Hey. Hey, girl. Hey. Huh. Yeah. But no, Stephanie Grisham, who wrote a tell-all book with all kinds of juicy titbits in it, and, you know, over in the mother country, in the UK, the mother country of the language, that is, they don't say tidbits. In British English, it's titbits. Because there's a bird called a tit. And it's a little bird. And so if it's a thing that's small enough for a tit to eat, it is a tit bit. But it crosses the pond and comes over here to the home of American Calvinism, where everything is somehow sexual, and we changed it to tidbit. It's a tidbit. There's no such thing as a tid. Never mind. It's the way my mind works. But no, the book is full of juicy little titbits. And, oh, that's true, that's true. Jeremy says, mind you, I met Santa a few weeks back. And I remember Jeremy making mention of this. I met Santa a few weeks back, and he's an Uber driver and definitely far, far, far from white. Just like the original St. Nicholas was. Not exactly pale. Mm-mm, no. That's why he could get away with wearing that bright red and that white fringe and all that shit. Doesn't look, you know, mm-mm. There we are, Stephen, New York, picture of Kurt Cobain. Yeah, why couldn't they dress more respectable like Kurt Cobain? Jesus, I can't tell if that sweater started out that way or if it's just what happened from not being laundered for 30 years. God damn. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Stephanie Grisham. Wait. Megan. Of course I haven't heard Merry Christmas yet. It's almost Halloween. That's Samhain to you pagan folk. Yes. We're decorated for Halloween around here, because we got a precious little girl running through the house, who has her very own scream mask and loves to. No, really, it's kind of like one of those old cartoons where the cat kept getting freaked out right up onto the ceiling. She loves hiding in little corners and jumping out and screaming at me and hearing me scream in return. It's sweet. So we're decorated for Halloween, and she loves it all, and it's just precious. Yes, I did. Yes, I did, Dave, number 11. You can call the principal. I don't care. I'll go to detention. Gasp, says Dave, number 11. Did you say tit? I'm a-tellin'. Mm-hmm. And we can also use What's-His-Name's Book of Common British Birds, and we can look at the pictures. We can look at the tit pictures! Yeah, that's right, that's right. Flavio, supreme practitioner of the art of word knowing, notes, there's also no tid mouse either, T-I-D. Hey. And I've told stories before of the lovely lady who was a magistrate back in those self-same 90s, And she raised no small number of eyebrows when, with her lovely British accent that she hung on to and somehow never managed to lose living up a holler somewhere, she would look at some recently apprehended miscreant and say, "Oh, don't be such a tit." And everybody in the courtroom would, what? Wait for it. Titter. They didn't titter. I was proud of that one, too. Dr. Dre, Dr. J, didn't titter. Trying here. I'm working. Lee in New York says, "War on Christmas. I see Christmas merchandise in the stores." No! But I have heard pumpkin spice way too much. I wish there was a war on pumpkin spice. I do. There's no pumpkin in pumpkin spice lattes. If there was, it would be gross. Hell, there's no pumpkin in the canned pumpkin you buy at the grocery store to make the pumpkin pies at Thanksgiving. Squash! I mean, a pumpkin is a squash, but... Yeah. How do we get there? Oh, yeah, nobody wants to work in the cabbage patch factory. God damn. Yeah, you're right, Jude. Jude says, "Our community is a grand, eclectic group of lifestyles, professions, etc., along with being so diverse in thought. Megan's news of beginning her master's studies focused on criminal justice lifts all of us, steady as it goes." And by the way, P.S., this Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, in support of Tracy, by aligning with an intentional focus to ease her worry concerning the missing college books. I have good news. That is no longer an issue, because Tracy got it sorted out. They're actually launching an investigation, and they have promised her that there will be no hold placed on any of her academics, nothing. Because she apparently raised a sufficient amount of hell that they realized that they weren't dealing with, right, that, well, they kind of figured out who they were dealing with. Right. Dr. Dre's new crib. I don't know how this turned into a Dr. Dre thing, but it happens. Dr. Dre's new crib. Dr. Dre could buy that principal with sofa cushion change. Yeah, he bought a palace in Brentwood. I was kind of hoping that was going to be the Beverly Hillbillies mansion, but no. Damn. French royalty would feel comfortable there. Mm-hmm. He's buying the house from Tom Brady and Giselle. And they were the ones who built it. They spent about $40 million doing it. What do you need with that? I mean, that's just mind-boggling. That's where that line from that movie always comes in so handy.
"Why are you doing it? How much better can you eat? What can you buy that you can't already afford?"
There we go. That's a hell of a crib. But back to Stephanie Grisham, because this is just, this now there's just too many dovetails on this story. She's not getting a lot of love. People are saying, "Nah, sorry, sis, too little, too late. You remained mute in the face of a bunch of real ugliness." And not a lot of people coming to her defense. And now, of course, Melanoma is attacking her. Melanoma Trump. The only presidential spouse in American history ever to remove their clothing in exchange for money for the sexual gratification of perfect strangers. Notice how there's no sexism in that statement whatsoever. It is a pure statement of fact. We're not talking about what the clothing was, or even, no, it is just a statement of fact. And therefore, I do not feel the least bit hypocritical continuing to mention that. But there must be a considerable amount of truth in Stephanie Grisham's book, Too Little, Too Late. No, that's not the title of the book, but actually, it's the book is called I'll Take Your Questions Now, What I Saw at the Trump White House. Yeah, it doesn't paint a flattering picture of any of those burrow billies, melanoma or Nitwit Nero or their spawn, or his spawn, you know, Eric the Dumber, Traitor Tot, Princess Iwanka. But in the book, she compares melanoma to Marie Antoinette. I don't know, favorably or unfavorably. Melanoma issued a statement saying, "The author is desperately trying to rehabilitate her tarnished reputation by manipulating and distorting the truth about Mrs. Trump. Ms. Grisham is a deceitful and troubled individual who doesn't deserve anyone's trust." Mm-hmm. And Stephanie Grisham said, "Well, I expected that." But there's a passage in this article from Huffington Post, and it says that one of the Trump's aides was afraid that that entire crew of just grifty scum would, quote from the book, "look like the Beverly Hillbillies when they went to merry old England to meet Queen Elizabeth." Haversham! Haversham. And I saw that and it just sort of tickled my brain a bit, because obviously they're using the Beverly Hillbillies there as a pejorative. And that's what a lot of people... Okay, so like Oh So Much or 60s TV, it's almost like Hollywood and TV show production company didn't know there were any black people in America. I don't recall if there was there ever a single person of color, any color other than white, on the Beverly Hillbillies. And remember, the Hillbillies came from Arkansas. That's where places like Siler Swamp are. Miss Haley could tell you all about that in a minute. It wouldn't be any trouble at all. But there were plenty of black folks in Arkansas, because Arkansas was a Confederate state, and a state in which people were enslaved. But the whole point of the Beverly Hillbillies is that, as compared to everybody else, like Mr. Drysdale, and God knows Mrs. Drysdale, who's just a mess, and a mean one at that, they turn out to be the most decent, they're always the most decent people. Yeah, Jethro's a buffoon, and Granny's cantankerous as fuck, but Jed's all salt of the earth. And usually, in every episode, it turns out that the Hillbillies are actually smarter than their city slicker neighbors and friends and comrades and associates. And yet, somehow, this far out... I mean, God, when was the last Beverly Hillbillies episode? What, 1972, 1973? And there's still a pejorative Beverly Hillbillies reference in a book published in 2021 by a woman who wasn't even born within a generation of the last episode of that show? Wow! I mean, it goes to show, I mean, the power of myth. And the power, among other things, that granted, like I said, Arkansas, and so it's the Ozarks, but people just naturally assumed that the Beverly Hillbillies, you know, Beverly Hills, Hillbilly, that they were from somewhere in Appalachia. And the power of anti-Appalachian smears is profound and persistent. To the point that, yeah, the trip to meet Queen Elizabeth was in 2019, and that's what was on Stephanie, the Trump White House aide's mind that Stephanie Grisham writes about. And that White House aide, again, I was 9 or 10 years old when the last episode of that program aired. I am 58. So that means 48 years ago. And I'm pretty sure that whoever that White House aide was, they were not my age. You're not a young and eager, up-and-coming Republican climber and seeker and... No, not at the time, 56. Just no. But the power of a smear is profound and lasting. And that line just sort of jumped off the page at me. It was like, damn. Because if they had come off like the Beverly Hillbillies, they would have come off as decent. But that is not the impression that a privileged little tit like Stephanie Grisham has of somebody who comes from one of the oldest and longest lasting white-ish cultures in the country. Of course, Appalachia is a lot more complicated, and it is not nearly as lily white as folks would have one believe. A trip through Appalachian history during, say, Black History Month will reveal that in broad detail. Oh, well, but if you'd like sort of a master class, there's never a bad time for me to pitch, because it's been out for, God, years. It won a book, I forget the award, but my friend Jeff Biggers did a fantastic job with this, with a book he wrote called The United States of Appalachia. You can still get it at your favorite bookseller. And it really should be on, all kinds of bookshelves. It should probably be taught in school, and next thing you know, they'll be accusing Jeff of engaging in critical race theory, because... You know, it's a book about Appalachia, and it's got black people in it. Right. Mm-hmm. So, we are rapidly approaching the halfway point of the program this evening. And so far, we are at Goose Egg on our $300 fundraising goal. Hopefully it won't stay that way. But in the meantime, let's go over and check in with Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay, cool. I'm moving around a lot, trying to get myself together. So just real quick, I was listening. I have a bone to pick. I was listening to the last part of the show yesterday from last night. And
No!
Mm-mm. I heard some stuff that I'm like, wait, what? So I'm just going to say something real quick.
Okay.
About what I heard and how you were basically shot down for voicing your opinion, and how some people did not even listen to you. They did not validate your opinion or anything like that. And I'm not even going to say why I feel that way. I'm going to leave that alone. Howsoever, let's just talk about, you know, telling how a woman should dress or anything like that is what you consider appropriate. That's coming from the same people who told me as a black woman that I can't wear my hair naturally because it wasn't professional. And now that's why we have a law in the state of California called the Crown Act. I know for a fact that I had did not get jobs because my hair was in locks or because I wore my hair naturally. They, you know, what is just basically based on a Eurocentric idea of beauty. So you want black women to spend trillions of dollars on hair weaves and relaxers, and in the meantime, destroying their hair just for what? So they can look more white? That's right up there with me wearing, I don't know, contact lenses to change my eye color. Now, I'm calling from a space of a woman that had to come to the realization that she was not ugly because she was black, that she was not ugly because her hair was straight, because she was not ugly because her nose was not small, or because she was not ugly because her lips were full or her ass was big. None of that. So to have two men sit back and in their male privilege, their heteronormative cisgender male privilege, and sit back and tell me or any other woman, yourself included, that it's appropriate for a female to wear, you can miss me with that shit. And I am very disappointed in what I heard. And if you got something to say to me, you know, both of y'all know how to get a hold of me.
I was afraid. I had a feeling that might not resonate with you.
No! Because how dare you? Who are you to tell me, or anybody, white, black, or otherwise, female, male, whatever, who are you to tell me what is appropriate to wear? You're not the boss of me. Or any other woman. Because you're telling me how to what you consider appropriate. So are you telling me what's appropriate for me to do with my uterus? Yes, I went there.
Yeah, you kind of did. I mean, it's not a long trip.
It is not. Because like you said, so that's akin to saying, well, if a woman gets raped, well, what were you wearing? How much did you drink? You brought this shit on yourself. Look, I don't care if somebody walks on to the Senate floor, would knock me down and fuck me pumps in a skirt that barely covers her for JJ. If that's what she chooses to wear, that's on her. Maybe she's making a statement to say, so this is what you think women, you know, maybe she was a stripper, a sex worker or a stripper or what have you. Don't shame people into who they and make them feel that they are less than because of the way they dress. What's that thing when you go shame?
So you speak truth.
I was done, and I'm not. And this is not joke. You know, I know somebody called it joking. Oh, that's a lot. No. Shit ain't funny. It is not a joking matter, rather. And you all can tell that the kids aren't in the car yet because I'm cussing.
Oh, yeah, no youngins in the car.
No youngins in the car. But, I mean, I, you know, when you tell me things that I'm supposed, again, don't tell me what I'm supposed, what I have to do. Like my grandmother used to say, God bless her soul, she was a badass. They only have to do two things. Stay black and die.
Matthew!
That's it.
You know, I get it. I do. And that's kind of why I got a little cringy. Because I think the person in question is easily attacked right now on a broad variety of fronts.
There's a whole bunch of stuff that we can go after her for.
Yeah.
I was loving, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff. It's like, how, again, you're telling me that I am, you know, I mean, like, you know, somebody pointed out, she's highly educated. She was a social worker. If she's going to be ashamed of anything, she should be ashamed of the fact that, she should be ashamed of the fact that she is disregarding the needs of the people that were talking to her, on top of the fact that apparently she's not, you know, like she won't talk to her constituents. So you have to do what you got to do.
I think the story, the most interesting part of the story, Tracy, is the way that the civility patrol are running to her defense. When, in point of fact, it's quite incivil to just blow off your own constituents. It's quite incivil to spread bullshit, non-facts. You know. She has said, among other things, and we've talked about it on the program, she parrots Joe Manchin and saying that this filibuster is vital to democracy. That shit makes me eat dirt and run rabbits, when the filibuster is one of the single most anti-democratic ideas that has ever come down the pike in American governance.
It's right along there with the Electoral College.
Sure you bet.
Because you're telling me that I don't matter. And what's really pissing me off with the pearl clutching, talking about the civility and all this. So where was the civility January the 6th?
Yeah. And see, these weren't barking, hooting, grunting, shrieking, gun-toting maggots. These were marginalized young women. That's why they were able to follow her into the restroom, which was I will judge that. That was a stupid place to go hide. And it's not really the optics, but the sounds of them talking and then toilets flushing. I mean, how much more symbolism do you want to go with all of that?
She didn't even have the common decency, the common courtesy. And like this young woman said, we got you here, and we'll get you out. That's right up there with my mom saying, when I would show out, I brought you in this world.
I can take you out.
I am not going to apologize. I am not going to.
I don't think you owe one.
I don't.
I mean,
that's my opinion, and you're wrong. Okay, so this is my opinion. So I haven't done angry black woman toward anybody on this show.
No,
ever.
No. And I don't think you're doing that now. I think you are teaching.
In the 10 years that I have been calling on this show. Because there have been some stuff said to me or I've heard and stuff that I let it go. Because it's not, in the grand scheme of things, I'm not one of these people that are going to call you out for everything. There's too many things more important and stuff happening that I'm not going to call out every microaggression that I've heard on this show, or any time I've been dismissed, or anything like that, you wouldn't have a show.
No,
like most people do.
One of the beautiful things is, there is no point in this program having conversations with or shouting matches with right wingers. That's why I've long said that they're not welcome here. Because they serve no purpose. They'd never argue in good faith. But for us to disagree and to work forward is actually a process. Is actually a healthy process. I don't see that with the other form. I mean, there are people out there who do that sort of professional wrestling thing where they'll have on a right winger and get involved in a very heated. Nobody's minds are changed. It's just entertainment.
No.
I think when we disagree on this program in this community, I actually think it's beneficial. I think it's helpful.
It is beneficial.
I think we learn from one another. I think we are better as a result of that.
Because in sitting here listening, I didn't hear the show because I turned off the show, and because back up while I was talking. There was this crazy thunder, lightning, storm, and all of a sudden it started raining. So I said, well, I think I better pay more attention to the street and traffic and all that other stuff. But, no. And thank you. Because, see, as, you know, as who you are now, you have a unique perspective of actually seeing what this is on both sides, from both sides of the coin. You spent the majority, the last 50-some-odd years of your life living as Bob could think. And seeing all this stuff and being empathetic and all that, but not really understanding and realizing just what it means to be a woman in this country. Oops. And so it's like, now you're seeing it. Because I have noticed since you have become, you know, you're becoming a Robin, I've noticed some disrespect. I've noticed people overtalking you. I have noticed people kind of poo-pooing you. And it's like, it's, you know, y'all, my brothers on this show, y'all need to check your male privilege. Because it's not right. I come to this show and listen to this show for the express reason that I have allies here. And Robin needs allies even more so than she's ever had before. Because she is embarking on something that takes, the word courage does nowhere near encompass what she is going through. The things that she is doing to become who she, her fully realized self, oh my God. I don't know if I could do that. If I would have, it was hard enough just let people, you know, realizing that, oh, I'm queer. Okay. And what I had to go through. What I went through, and I'm not playing the who's more oppressed game. No, no. It's various, varying degrees. But to hear how some of these, you know, like when, I haven't heard it lately, but kind of being dismissive of her pronouns. Oh, that's, you know, no big deal. Yes, it is a big deal. Because it don't take but a second to be decent. You know, or you know, Rob, you know, saying Bob instead of saying Robin, or just say, oh, whatever. No. It is not a whatever.
That part is not.
At all.
That part is not. You know, you bring something to mind, Tracy. It ain't Wednesday, but I can't help how I was raised. So there's stuff that sort of sticks around in my head, and there's a verse out there, and I know you'll recognize it when I mention it. In the King James Version, it says, and it comes from the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6 of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 6:34, as a matter of fact. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I know you've heard that.
Yes, I have.
Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know what does not happen either before or after Matthew 6:34?
Gee, no.
Enlighten us, Robin. Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who wore a dress every day of his life. Their life, I'm sorry. Their life. The offspring of a genderless God is probably genderless in their own right. But neither before nor after Matthew 6:34 There is no statement sufficient unto the day is the goodness thereof. Sufficient unto the day is the kindness thereof. Sufficient unto the day is the sweetness thereof. Sufficient unto the day is the generosity thereof. Sufficient unto the day is the love thereof. Because there is an abundance of evil in the world, but there is never enough kindness. There is never enough generosity. There is never enough goodness. There's never enough sweetness. There is never enough love.
No. I mean, you just
kind of lit that up in my mind because, you know, shit is bad enough as it is. Let's not make it worse. And that's the kind of shit that got that poor thing hammered into a crossbeam.
You know, because, when you were talking about, you know, you were speaking from your heart as a woman. And to me, it was like, and I'm going to say it, and I had planned not saying it, but I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Uh-oh.
Just because we were born as, you know, with the certain parts does not diminish your who you are as a woman.
So thank you for that.
If you, as a woman, says, yeah, that's not right, no. Then somebody who is a man says, but you're wrong. And especially if you're coming from a space where, you're just now a woman. No. You've always been. Now you're just going to have the parts to match. So, y'all know who I'm talking about, and y'all know who made who sent in comments after the fact. I want you to check yourselves and start thinking about what you said and how you said it. Because see, I'm at this point, I'm Auntie Tracy, and I will snatch him up. this is real talk, y'all. You know me; I joke around as much as I possibly can to levity to a what amounts to a very serious conversation. But this conversation needs to be had because
you're getting an amen from down San Diego way. our pal on Twitter, our pal on Twitter, O-Pipe Down, says, I'm so behind Tracy on this. I love her.
You know, this conversation about how people are acting towards Robin and the dismissive nature and the dismissive tone and, you know, making this about, you know, why is this show about trans issues? Because you know what? Trans issues are my issues as well. As a woman, as a black woman, if we don't talk about trans issues and do something about those, what am I supposed to do? Are you not going to support me as a black queer woman? Are you not going to be my ally?
You know, you remind me of something. Let me see if I can find it. I saw a piece of video from the Women's March in D.C. this past weekend. And it really, really spoke to me, and I was really proud to see that the organizers invited a trans man to speak at the rally from the podium.
Wow.
That was huge. I'm looking for it now. It's a statement by Skylar Baylor. And Skylar Baylor is the first transgender athlete to compete on an NCAA Division I men's team. Okay? Now, bear in mind, for instance, I mean, just to kind of make sure we get this right, like the stupid law that the Republic, that the maggots in the West Virginia legislature promulgated, they promulgated a law that said no trans girls can participate in high school sports in West Virginia. But the dumbasses were so clueless and so transparently fixated on trans girls, as are all of these athletic bills. Some of them just include trans boys for appearance's sake. But in West Virginia, it's like, no, we're only worried about the trans girls. Because, you know, we know them trans boys ain't never going to compete with real boys. When, you know, trans boys, trans boys are real boys. That's the thing. So, Skylar Baylor managed to make the cut on a men's NCAA squad.
Wow.
Which is huge. And so they invited...
What sport? I'm sorry, what sport?
I don't know. I don't have that much background, but any sport. I don't care. He went in and made the damn team and made it on his athletic performance and is a hell of a lot more and is a hell of a lot more of a guy than I ever was. Because I wasn't. So check this audio out, because I'm glad you opened the door to this, because I wanted to remember to run this, because this was a profound moment, and the fact that there is applause in the audience speaks. Now if you walked past this dude, you would... I'm walking past a dude. There is nothing feminine about him, okay? And so, like, these stupid bathroom bills that would try to, I don't know, make him show a birth certificate or something. And I don't know where he comes from, so maybe he comes from, like, one of these civilized states where you can change your birth certificate before you've had tens of thousands of dollars worth of surgery, so that it's not a paperwork nightmare just to try to live within one's own identity. You would never guess. You would never read or clock him from his voice to his appearance. And the fact that he was invited onto the podium in this rally for women's rights is profound. And we know how profound it is, Tracy, because of how much of a shitstorm conniption it starts in the thin gray settlings that slosh around between his ears and pass for brains of a guy like Fucker Carlson. So I hope the audio is going to be good. It might be a little bit low. I will kill my mic to drown out the wind tunnel behind me. But this is Skylar Baylor.
I'll put myself on mute as well.
This is Skylar Baylor talking at the women's rally, I think in Washington, D.C., and it gave me chills.
I am the first transgender athlete to compete for a Division I men's team in college. And the key word, sports are cool, but the key word is transgender. I am a transgender man, which means that although I am a man, I was assigned female at birth, which means that I have a uterus, which means that I could get pregnant, which means that I could need an abortion. I am here to remind you to make it absolutely clear that people of all genders can have abortions, and people of all genders should have safe and legal access to abortions. This is a women's issue, and it is also a transgender man's issue. It is also a non-binary person's issue. It is also a genderqueer, genderfluid, transmasculine person's issue. This is about all of us. And I want to let you in on a little secret. Hopefully it's not a secret to you all because you're here. You should not have to have a uterus to care about abortion rights. You should not have to have a uterus to care about autonomy. You should not have to have a uterus to care about a person's right to choose to do what they do with their body. I am a transgender man. I have spent my life fighting for my right to choose what I do with my body. My right to get top surgery. My right to take gender-affirming hormones, my right to have access to gender-affirming, life-saving health care. We should all have access to life-saving health care. Am I right? Am I right? Pro-life rhetoric is not truly pro-life, because if it was, they would support all the things that save lives. Like fighting for black liberation and ending police brutality. Like fighting for gender-affirming healthcare to save trans kids' lives. Like ending conversion therapy that kills queer kids all the time. Pro-life is truly pro-control. Pro-life is about controlling anyone's body that wants to dismantle or that rejects the cis-hetero patriarchy. All of us here are hopefully here to reject the cis-hetero patriarchy, because we all deserve the right to do what we want to with our own bodies. We deserve the right to choose. What I have done with my body, my choices in my body, have allowed me to stand in front of you today, have allowed me to become the first transgender athlete to compete for a Division I men's team, have allowed me to fight for trans lives and for people's lives to be themselves. We all deserve that right to choose. Our bodies, our choice. I want you to say it with me. Our bodies, our choice. Our bodies, our bodies, our bodies.
Pretty clear, wasn't it? I mean, the audio was not as loud as I would like to have been, or like for it to have been.
But I was clear.
But that was profound. And he's a new hero of mine. I mean, wow.
Exactly. I mean, it's just wow. And like he said, he's been fighting for his right to be who he wants to be.
And by the way, his sport is swimming. He's a swimmer.
Oh, okay.
And I'm trying to find out. He was, get this. He was recruited to the Harvard men's swimming and diving team as a guy.
Oh wow!
As a guy.
What school?
Harvard.
Oh, journalist. So we're not only an athlete, we're a scholar and an athlete.
He took a gap year and transitioned, and when he came back, they offered him the choice. Do you want to swim against the women, or do you want to swim against the men? And he said, "I'm a guy. I need to be swimming in the in men's teams." And so he is.
Just that simple.
Born in New York City, of Korean descent, grew up in McLean, Virginia. Grew up with some considerable privilege, but I'm not going to, you don't hold that against him, because being being trans will erase a shit ton of privilege. I think.
Oh,
I think we can. I think we can establish that now.
Yep.
And everything he said was true.
Uh-huh.
And when he got to that line about you don't have to have a uterus to support the bodily autonomy and the right to choose, that's so true. And you don't have to, and it's not, there are, I hope, millions of decent cis guys. I dare say almost all, I hope all of this community who don't have any problem reaching that point. It's, I mean, to me, it's QED. And you don't even necessarily, and the thing is, you don't even necessarily have to have anything on the line. You don't have to say, well, you know, I support this because maybe someday as a cis male, they'll come after my ability to buy a condom.
I'm sorry, I'm on speaker.
You just, you know, you do it because it's the right thing to do. And so I just have so much respect for him. He is nothing short of absolutely amazing.
I'm in awe. Again, the courage to do what you have to. I mean, like he said, life saving, not just life affirming, but life saving medical care. Just being able to change the M to an F or the F to an M on your birth certificate, or just being able to have non-binary on your birth certificate. How about that?
Yeah, and you know, realistically, just about, the birth certificate thing makes me crazy, because when assuming that I win all my wars with the insurance company, and that was another 3 hours of my life I'll never get back today, you know, just fighting for my, you know, right to be myself. When that's all said and done, oh God, Tracy. It almost beggars my ability to express it. But I know people who got their I know trans women who got their bottom surgery and did so faster than maybe they'd planned to do so, because they were afraid their right to do so was going to be taken away when Republicans took power. That's a boatload of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the program started with one of these barking mad titanic intellects who said, you know, transgenderism, in which children are taught that there are more than two genders, which is completely against science. No, it isn't.
No, it is not.
What I was going to say a minute ago, I'm going to have to jump through, and this is Scott's term, flaming barbed wire hoops to get my birth certificate changed because I was born in Talabama. And even after I get my birth certificate changed, it will have a big boom stamp on it that says, this birth certificate has been altered.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But oddly enough, everybody else's doesn't say that, because virtually everything on your birth certificate changes. Okay, not your birthday, unless there was some sort of, you know, clerical error. But everything else does. I mean, sure, I was, you know, 7 pounds 6 ounces at birth. Technically, I am still 7 pounds 6 ounces. It's just that there's 213.4 ounces more to go with it.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
That changed. I was, you know, what, 23 inches long or something, because they don't measure height because babies can't stand up. But I was 23 inches long when I was born. I'm still 23 inches long, It's just that there are, let's see, 74, 54. There's 50. There's 50. There's 51 more inches of me. Eyes are still blue. You know, race is non-existent, but still white. But I got a lot more weight than I had back then. But they don't stamp. They don't stamp other people's birth certificate. This has been altered. It is merely a memorialization of a precise, teeny tiny instant in time. But places like Alabama have laws, antediluvian laws, that say things like, birth certificate with regard to gender may not be changed except upon proof of utter and irreversible surgical change.
Never leave in California.
Never leave in California. I know. And you know, so you can, I guess you just have to put up with that rubber stamp on there. Given the fact that it's Alabama, it's a miracle that it doesn't say unclean. Or, you know, bound for hell.
No.
But you know who I really feel sorry for out of this? Is the trans boys. Because surgical and irreversible change for a trans boy means that he has to go through horrifying. Okay, I say horrifying. I know it's affirming for a trans guy. But it is so much more complicated. And as is the case for just about everything surgical that touches upon a person who was born with two X chromosomes, the science is so far behind. I mean, I can recognize my own privilege to the point of saying, you know, they're really working hard to perfect or improve surgeries for people like me. It's a whole different ballgame on the other side of the gender spectrum. And so what does a trans guy have to go through in a benighted place like Alabama to get his stamp that says this birth certificate has been altered?
Oh God.
It's hateful, it's brutal, it's ugly. And it's sad. And I'm hoping at some point in time the ACLU, who are being kept busier than they'd like to be, you know, the ACLU would kind of like to go out of business. But there's always some Republican asshole out there who's running roughshod over somebody's constitutional rights, so the ACLU is never going to be out of work. But they are, for instance, they got two lawsuits going in West Virginia right now, Tracy. One is on behalf of trans kids playing sports. Well, trans girls playing sports. Again, West Virginia doesn't give a shit about trans boys. And the other is West Virginia's Medicaid is being sued because West Virginia's Medicaid will not pay for so much as a single dose of estrogen or testosterone for a trans person. Good God, Ohio Medicaid even does that. But no, they have to be sued into submission. Because the easy thing would be to just go, well, you know, this was obviously a wrong policy. Let's fix that. But you can't do that with a legislature full of people wearing red maggot hats on their heads with urine-colored snake flags sitting on their desks. So I get it when you say, you know, never leave in California. But eventually, I think the ACLU will get around to suing Alabama for its present barbaric practice relative to a birth certificate modification. Why has it got to be so difficult?
It's so easy. It's just... everybody has... when I think about privilege,
and the privilege that I had.
Yeah, there is a hierarchy of privilege.
There is a hierarchy. I didn't go through anything like a lot of my fellow LGBTQIA family members went through when I realized who I was, because it's a grown woman. I didn't have to worry about being thrown out of my house. I had my own home. I had my own job. I was self-sufficient. I didn't depend on anybody for my basic necessities. That right there. So that is a privilege. I didn't have to go through that. And I'm thankful to God that I didn't. Because I still wonder on a regular basis how my mother would have reacted. And I'm like, oh, God. So everybody, there's people, like you said, the hierarchy of privilege. I got more rights as a lesbian than I ever would have had as just a black woman. So it's just, again, I'm going to go because I just, but again, I hope that our conversation that we just had woke up a couple of people. And I hope that y'all know that, yes, I was pissed. Again, yes, I was, again, my term, hotter than fish grease. However, if I didn't love and care about you guys, I wouldn't say anything. I'd just go figure it out for yourselves.
Yeah.
But there's so much.
Yeah, ho-hum, who cares, right.
There's so much at stake. Because when you diminish, when Robin's rights are diminished, my rights are diminished. Your rights are diminished. When you tell a woman, oh, when the go-to response, when somebody is telling you their truth or how something affected them, what that was said, and you say you're being too sensitive or you're overreacting or, oh, I didn't mean it, or I'm sorry if this offended you. Think about what you're saying. Think about how you're saying it. And again, y'all, check the privilege. Because only for somebody coming from a place of privilege can you talk down to somebody like that. It took a lot for Robin to even share this, what she's going through with us. Knowing what was going to happen, she knew. We talked about it before it happened. I mean, yes, she was prepared, but nothing can still, as much as you get, you know, you get your girded up, you know, and all that, and put on your full armor, there's only so much your soul can take and your heart can take. And it still hurts. You know, I'm talking about this from experience. We make ourselves in the ready to deal with everything that we have to deal with. Just being alive. And then add everything else. So think about that. And, you know, this is what people say, why aren't you a teacher? Because, first of all, you ain't gonna pay me enough.
That's what we do. Unless you move to Finland.
No, it's not enough stuff. I can't. I have to have some sun and heat and stuff. No.
Hashtag Finland so white.
hashtag business of life. Again, so anyway, I'm gone.
That was beautifully said, and I appreciate you chiming in with your thoughts on that, because it, like I said, I found it a fascinating conversation, and I learned so much.
Well, again, like I said, if any other people that I addressed, and I didn't call out any names, because that's not how I'm going to go there.
No, it shouldn't be done that way.
I'm a grown up.
Look at you.
I'm a grown up. Oh, speaking of grown ups, good news. So, on the saga of Tracy's library books.
Yeah, because Jude wrote in on that earlier this evening.
Okay, so here's the deal. The good news is I got an actual adult who actually called me because they saw the email that I wrote, and the terse response from the child. You know, basically saying it's all you. And they apologized for them dismissing my concerns and automatically assuming that it was my fault. You know, because basically I said in my email, why is it that it's automatically assumed that you never even thought to think this is on us? I addressed the fact that when I returned the books, it was before the library had reopened, and how God only knows what kind of staffing, you know, they had during that time. All these things, which leads the fact that stuff can go wrong. And then, of course, they asked me the question again, are you sure you didn't drop the books off at the public library? And to my and then I responded, I said, look at here now. I'm a 55-year-old adult who has been a small business owner for over 14 years. If I was that irresponsible, there's no way I could actually actually work for myself. I said, I am not a child. I am not an 18, 19-year-old freshman. And again, 9 books are missing. Do you really think that I did something wrong? If it was 1, if it was 2, and even the 3. But now I find out all 9 of the books that I checked out, they can't find. And some of which, like I said, I told them, some of which I returned last year. At the end of the fall semester.
Blame it on COVID and move on. You know what I mean? That's what they need to do.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Blame it on COVID. Somebody misplaced them. Somebody sent them to the wrong school, whatever the case may be. And I said, the next time I return books, I will video myself returning the books.
A good idea. You got some fan mail here. No, it's not an uh-oh. Tom in sunny San Rafael said, thank you, Tracy. I feel like I've just been to church.
Sparky's
going to
be mad.
No, it's okay.
Sparky, we did church. I'm just kidding, Sparky.
No, I know.
I could see his eyes rolling like, ugh. Thank you.
Well, you brought your A game, Tracy, and I appreciate it, dear.
I appreciate it too. I love you. You take it, and we will talk again soon.
Absolutely. You stay safe out there on the mean streets of the valley.
I'm not in the valley right now. I'm on the west side. I'm in West LA, y'all. So I'm good.
Well, even more reason. You take care, dear.
You too, baby. Bye.
Bye now. absolutely a master. You listen to Tracy. Can you imagine how awesome she is going to be when she goes into her field of family counseling among black families? Whew. Yeah. People will be paying attention. They absolutely will. And, you know, it's interesting with that. Tom in sunny Santa Rafael says, I should have added that I haven't been to church in 50 years. Well, if you're going to go, Tom, going to the First Church of Tracy is probably your best bet. You know, we started out the program this Titanic Tuesday with that stupid press release from that stupid organization, those miserable used-to-be teabaggers, those birthers, deathers, birchers, baggers, and booger eaters, Merkins for limited government, and transgenderism. Well, I said that we would, and I said, you know, I'm going to try to start doing one of these every evening from the archives of the Herman Cain Award. These are social media posts from a daughter to her parents, and I find this chilling. This is like one of those horrifying stories where one member of a family slaughters the rest of the family. Mom and Dad, please read. There is no logic behind this vaccination. Vaccine Q&A. And every, you know, this isn't something she came up with by herself. This is shit that was filth. This is garbage that was deliberately spread on social media by people who want people to die. That's the bottom line with all this anti-vax horse shit. It starts with people who want other people to die. COVID-19 vaccine Q&A. Facts to help you make a decision. Are the mRNA vaccines experimental? Yes, so are all vaccines. And it goes through 14, you know. Are there doctors and scientists recommending people not to take it? Yes, but there's nothing on there about how the doctor recommending people not take it also believe that demons steal penises and bury them at the bottom of the sea. And the next one, just because someone isn't afraid of COVID doesn't mean he or she doesn't believe in it. He or she understands the risk but doesn't prioritize fear over life. Or apparently brains. And then a photograph of some dude with a, you know, he's got a headband on, glasses, he's got a, you know, kind of some sort of curly hippie chin whiskers and long curly hair. And he's wearing a T-shirt, and I presume it's a real T-shirt, or what's on it is real, that it's not Photoshopped, but with, you know, with the misinformation spread over COVID-19. It's anybody's guess. But the T-shirt reads, transvaccinated. I'm not actually vaccinated, but I identify as someone who is vaccinated. Oh, isn't that clever? And then there's a photoshopped picture of Leonardo DiCaprio where he is made to appear really, really fat. And there's a photoshopped bag of Cheetos before him and a Diet Coke and a badly photoshopped Cheeto sort of floating off of his finger. And he's laughing with his little piggy eyes squinted. And he says, and the caption says, the meme caption says, unvaccinated people should be denied health care since they refuse to take responsibility for a preventable disease. The idea being of obesity, yada, yada, yada. And then the next one is, positive update on our dad. overall, with the current situation, today is considered a better day for him. His ICU doctor has said that breathing oxygen-wise, he is showing improvement, and his oxygen is, I think, set at 55% now, which is lower than what he's been needing. First of all, this man fights anyone and everything. He's been heavily sedated and also required a paralytic due to him fighting and pulling his vent out. Today, they were able to reduce the paralytic somewhat, which the doctor said was a good sign. His blood pressure had been very crazy, and they'd been treating it, but that's stabilized now also. The main negative that he is facing now is his kidneys. They believe he may be entering kidney failure, and we may need to discuss dialysis within the next day or two. Overall, though, today is a better day, and he's still fighting. We thank you all for your prayers and concerns and well wishes. It means so much to all of us. Please continue to pray for him. Our mom, who is also positive, and other family members also, someone's name, would also like to thank you all personally, but she's still in Facebook jail because she's just like her dad. Laughing emoji, facepalm emoji, praying hands emoji, emoji, emoji. Update on our dad. His white blood cell count today is very high, but he doesn't have a fever, so that's good. The doctor believes it's due to the fact that he aspirated from his feeding tube yesterday and is reacting to that. They suctioned him out well yesterday when it happened. Today they put him on two strong antibiotics to get the cell count down. We will know more about it tomorrow, and the doctor is hopeful it will work. For his kidneys, today's been a good day, and his numbers look slightly better than yesterday, so no talk of dialysis today. Yesterday, they took him off the paralytic, and his oxygen was 55% with a high pressure. Today, he fought the vent all day long, and the doctor made the decision to restart the paralytic to let the machine do the work. In other words, the horizontal crucifixion. His oxygen is now at 70%, but with a lower pressure, to keep him more comfortable. Today's update is pretty straightforward and to the point, which is a good thing. Praying hands, praying hands, praying hands. We are so thankful. I'm sorry I did not provide an update yesterday. We had a hectic day. At 10:56 last night, Jesus called him home. He's no longer struggling or hurting. I'm at a loss for words at the moment, and I'm sorry. Please keep my mom and entire family in your prayers. It's been extremely difficult. Thank you all so much. And then finally, 2 days ago, October the 3rd, 9:15 p.m., I lost my daddy. I lost my daddy on September 24th, but my world flipped upside down on September 15th when he went to the hospital. I've been in Facebook jail for 30 days, so I'm finally able to share this. She killed her father. She killed him as surely as if she had put a gun to his head and pulled the trigger. She sent him post after post mocking vaccinations, mocking the virus itself, mocking the tens of thousands of dedicated scientists and healthcare professionals who have busted their ass in the middle of a pandemic to save his life and others like him. All he had to do was get a vaccine. And that first post, Mom and Dad, please read. There's no logic behind this vaccination. And there was no life behind opposing it. Just one. But to see all of this homicidal filth that is out there flowing in our society, in our culture, in our consciousness. How is that woman gonna live with herself? Honestly. And even as her daddy lay struggling for every breath, God, she was in Facebook jail. That means she was still pushing anti-vax, anti-science garbage. She was still trying to kill other people. Even as her mommy was positive for the virus and her daddy
was waiting to be called home to Jesus. There are thousands of these. Not just thousands of people dying of COVID, but thousands of people dying of COVID who have been driven to death. Who have, for all intents and purposes, been haunted, hunted, like some sort of game animal. And this is where it leads. And that's just one out of so many thousands of others. There's the guy who loved to call people who got the vaccine sheep. Patriots need to take this country back by force if necessary. It's just sad. It's just a mask. It's just 6 feet. It's just 2 weeks. It's just non-essential businesses. It's just non-essential workers. It's just a bar. It's just a restaurant. It's just to keep from overwhelming the hospitals. It's just a, really? Just to keep from overwhelming the hospitals? It's just until the cases go down. It's just to flatten the curve. It's just a few inmates. It's just to keep others from being scared. It's just for a few more weeks. It's just church. You can still pray. It's just prayer. It's just until we get a vaccine. It's just a bracelet. It's just an app. It's just for tracing. It's just to let people know you're safe to be around. Look at the syringe. The plunger's already depressed with nothing being injected. Yeah, go get in line for the vaccine, sheep. A donkey leads a flock of sheep. Draw your own conclusions. Things that don't work. Masks, lockdowns, Democrats. More prayers requested. My brother is truly struggling and has now been labeled as high risk in ICU with intubation on standby. Please keep him and our family in your thoughts and prayers. I'm in shock. A friend passed from COVID 10-2-2021. Please keep blank and blank and the family in your prayers. He was a really nice guy. R.I.P. Or as Jesse Lee would say, he dead. Want to hear a COVID joke? You're probably not going to get it. Ho, ho, ho. I don't care who you are. That's funny until you're dead. If in the next 2 weeks a lot of riders don't come down with COVID-19, it'll be a sure sign this was all a hoax. Or this, and this goes all the way back to October 8th of 2020. Keep in mind, the Antichrist comes before the rapture. I've studied the Bible a lot in my life in many different forms, and it really does always come down to this. I've been hearing about the second coming of Christ and the events unfolding since I was a kid. The mark of the beast, microchips, no cash, just plastic. They didn't have... The word plastic is not in the fucking Bible. Martial law, spelled M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L. Hint, there is no law school at Marshall University. Total government dependency control. When we're raising a family, working long hours and some two jobs, lots of things go unnoticed or just ignored. No one can comprehend how bad it'll be till it is. We've never been told to stay home, quit work, and rely on the government. We're seeing a lot of firsts. Not canceling Thanksgiving or Christmas at my house. Who else can post this? Watching the Macy Day Parade right now, it's the most disgusting thing I've seen in my entire life. Oh no, they must have had the seahorse sex balloons out. Some people wearing masks and some not. If one wears one, they all need one. No one in the streets watching people sing it that I've never heard of. Also been a lot of Grammy winners that I've never heard of. All I can say is Macy's is a joke this rear. The Macy's Day Parade. That one crawls all over me. So intellectually lazy you can't put Thanksgiving Day between Macy's and Parade. Jesus Christ. Somewhere someone is showering with a mask on. I just know it. COVID. Christ offers victory in diseases. Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply all my needs. Then there's the graphic showing Biden and Trump head-to-head, but standing behind Biden is the devil, and standing behind Trump is Jebus. Want to wish my wife of 25 years a happy anniversary. Hope to have many more. I love this woman to the moon and back. She's been there through thick and thin, and I've been there for her just the same. Love you. Pray for my brother. He's in the hospital with COVID. I'll keep posting updates. And there it is. Another man gone too soon. So very kind to me and could always put a smile on your face. When I first got into racing, it was one of many of the more experienced drivers coming to the trailer, offering advice or help. He'll be missed dearly down here till we meet again. Rest easy, my friend. Well, he died horizontally crucified, so I don't know how easily he rested. Yeah, and there it is. Randy Radar. God, I sent you two boats and a helicopter. I sent you a submarine. Exactly. Right. So, you know, there's that. And there's literally tens of thousands more. Yeah. I mean, so do we got, do we, oh well, so long, bye-bye. Yeah. God. Oh, a note coming from our dear friend Cynthia out in the Bay Area. Be prepared for your old name to follow you around for years. I thought I'd stomped on it all years ago, but with my teeth, the need for four crowns, two fillings, and perhaps a root canal, and the need to go under general anesthesia for it, I had to get an ECG for it. I got a referral to a cardiologist from my doctor's office and went to what I thought was a doctor in my network of doctors through the system I use. Not so. With all the mergers and acquisitions, my old name was on file with this hospital foundation, which is in the same building complex as the system I normally use. I didn't realize it was a separate hospital company. I used the original medical foundation under my old self something like 40 years ago. 40 years ago, and that foundation was acquired by another hospital system, which as a result had my old name on file, even though they had no medical records to go with it. And they insist on using my old fucking name. And of course, to me, that is an obscenity, a flaming albatross they have hung around my neck. So I got the ECG from them and complained about the name, and yet they sent it to my dentist under the old name, not my correct name. And the doctor also changed a prescription that was sent to the pharmacy under my old name. And of course, here I am having to explain to the dentist and the pharmacy something I should not have had to do, and they're going to charge Medicare under my old name too. Will Medicare pay it? Needless to say, I'm not going back to that office again. To hell with them. Not even my longtime doctor's office does that to me, and I was with them through my change. They get my name right on everything. How hard can it be? Can you tell I'm pissed? And righteously so, sister. Righteously so. The bottom line, don't be surprised when this sort of shit pops up for you, too. Oh, I know. Like I said, I threw away three more hours of my precious finite time on the planet doing battle with the insurance company in the marketplace today. And, you know, my voice clocks me. I'm working on it. That's what the speech therapy's for. But... yeah, the surring, I think we need to just do away with it. I mean, it's supposedly an honorific, but it's so easy to get wrong. Oof. And, of course, I had a doctor's appointment this morning, you know, just follow up, get the prescriptions rewritten, that kind of stuff. And so there it was, misgendered twice within 30 seconds, standing in front, presenting female, standing in front of the reception desk. Yay. So much fun. But that's enough of that. Probably half the community's tuned away by now. And don't know why she has to talk about all that trans shit. You know, it is conversation radio. And if you've got something you'd like to talk about, you are more than welcome to jump into the conversation on Skype. Bob Kincaid Horn. Ugh. Get you into that conversation. And then there's the stress line, named after the irrepressible, inimitable Bill Mr. Stress Miller. 844-843-4676. 844-THE-HORN. And You're welcome to jump in. There is, of course, a bunch more stuff to go into, but it's Tuesday, and so consequently we have the Green News Report, and I hate to miss out on what Brad and Desi bring to the table.
It's Tuesday, October 5, 2021.
Our wetlands and wildlife centers are taking care of animals and cleaning the poison off the animals now.
Massive oil spill off the Southern California coast despoils fish and fowl.
Our coastline is too precious. It's too vulnerable. And we need to prevent anything like this from happening ever again.
SoCal beaches are closed with calls renewed for offshore drilling ban. Plus, big oil is spending big bucks to block climate provisions in Biden's Build Back Better agenda.
Oh, you bet they are. All of those stories and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
The U.S. government is also rapidly approaching the debt ceiling. It would be what one economist called financial Armageddon. That's bad news. And even worse timing, because America has already scheduled a plague Armageddon, a climate Armageddon, and a democracy Armageddon.
Yes, it has. This is your Green News Report.
Can we pencil that in for next Wednesday? Maybe a lunchmageddon?
Okay, Desi Doyen, just last week we were talking about a California natural gas company that was forced to settle after the largest methane leak in U.S. history. And here we are this week with another huge oil spill in Southern California.
Yes, we are. The cause of a massive oil spill off the coast of Huntington Beach, California, is under intense investigation after a 17-mile-long undersea pipeline that runs from an aging offshore crude oil processing platform ruptured sometime on Friday or Saturday, releasing at least 130,000 gallons of crude oil.
Oh, it was on Friday, because that's when the residents started complaining about it. Officials didn't do anything about it, however, until Saturday.
It is already one of the largest oil spills in recent California history, generating an oil slick more than 13 square miles and closing miles and miles of the state's famous beaches and halting commercial and recreational fishing operations. Dead fish and birds are washing up on shore. The oil spill has also infiltrated the entirety of the fragile Talbot Wetlands, a critical link along the migratory bird route from North America to South America. Texas-based oil rig and pipeline owner Amplify Energy shut the pipeline down on Saturday. Divers are trying to find the location of the rupture. Huntington Beach Mayor Kim Carr on Monday said it's still unclear if the pipeline crude oil has stopped leaking.
We know that the pipe has been shut down, but we're not sure yet if there's still oil coming out of that pipe. And we also want to know exactly how did this happen? When is it going to be repaired, and how can we make sure that this never happens again?
Those are good questions.
The LA Times reports that Amplify Energy has amassed a long record of federal noncompliance incidents and violations and emerged from bankruptcy just 4 years ago.
Of course they did. Didn't you say it was a Texas company?
Yes.
Yes.
Officials say it will take several weeks, possibly months, to clean up and reopen soiled beaches and fishing grounds, creating an extended economic hit to local businesses and the tourism, outdoor recreation, and commercial fishing industries just starting to recover from the pandemic. Orange County Supervisor Katrina Foley told CNN, quote, "These are wetlands that we've been working to make sure to create this beautiful natural habitat for decades. And now, in just a day, it's completely destroyed."
Wow, just horrific.
The spill has renewed pressure on lawmakers to phase out all oil and gas production off the California coast. The state legislature in recent years banned new fossil fuel infrastructure in state waters, but experts have called the decades-old existing offshore platforms and pipelines lining the coastline an aging time bomb. On the broadcast, the state director for the nonprofit group Environment California, Laura Dean, cited the mounting risks of these existing oil operations to wildlife, the economy, and the climate.
When you think about the consequences of not ending our dependence on oil, the costs to our society are so much greater. We can no longer afford to have these really significant negative events like a massive oil spill off our coast.
Meanwhile, in the nation's capital, big oil is spending big bucks to kill climate provisions in President Joe Biden's $3.5 trillion Build Back Better plan, now under tense negotiations in Congress. Here's independent Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont on CNN.
Insurance companies, the fossil fuel industry, are spending hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to prevent us from doing what the American people want.
Sanders is correct. CNN reports that since mid-August, the oil industry's powerful lobbying group, the American Petroleum Institute, alone has spent millions of dollars in ads in congressional swing districts to attack President Biden's plans and blitzing social media, including spending $500,000 on Facebook ads alone. Mm-hmm. Separately, ExxonMobil, the nation's largest oil and gas company, has spent at least $1.6 million on Facebook ads in opposition to the climate provisions in the bill.
Of course they have. Let's hope we don't fall for it again this time. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
And let's see here. There's a story that for this Titanic Tuesday, and by the way, as we come toward the end of the program, about 19 minutes remaining, we are still a goose egg for fundraising for this Tuesday, the 5th day of October. Maybe that'll improve over time, over the last little bit, maybe overnight, who knows. But early in the program, Flavio mentioned something to me about Steve Bannon. I keep saying that, you know, y'all, they're going to do it again. And lo and behold, this is one of those cases of when people tell you who they are, believe them the first time. Yesterday, Steve Bannon, the man who looks like hot dog smell, yes, I'm talking about his appearance, damn straight I am, was interviewed on NBC. Why NBC chose to interview this pardoned felon, I don't know, but they did. And, of course, you know, if you ask these insurrectionists what they want, they'll tell you they still want to overturn the government. As Flavio put it, when insurrectionists aren't meaningfully punished, they're emboldened. Well, this is what emboldened sounds like.
Their side. We control this country. If you look at the values of working class people and what they want, basically be left alone, right? If you look at it, we are at least two-thirds of the nation.
Horseshit. He likes that two-thirds number, Steve Bannon does, because I can remember way back in, 2016, before the election, when he and Milo Yiannopoulos said two-thirds of the Republican base were white nationalists. And I had no problem believing that. But I don't think two-thirds of America don't want clean water. I don't think two-thirds of America want to breathe poison. I don't think two-thirds of America want to die of COVID. I don't think two-thirds of America despise having bridges that don't fall out from under them when they're driving across them. They do not control the government. Two nasty-ass white men from Appalachia control the government. Joe Manchin and Moscow Mitch McConnell. And one nasty-ass woman from Arizona, Kyrsten Sinema, and all of the other Republicans in the Senate who represent a decided minority of Americans. Ostensibly, Mitch McConnell represents the entire state of Kentucky, but I guarantee you, because I know some of them, the entire state of Kentucky does not love Mitch McConnell, and there's a whole bunch of them that wouldn't pee in his mouth if his guts were on fire. which is not a terrible idea. You listening, Jesus? So he starts out with a lie, but the purpose of the lie is to make an excuse for the next insurrection.
You should think 75%, but we're two-thirds of the nation. The opposition, particularly the opposition elite and all their soy boys and everything in Silicon Valley media, it's not a big part of the population.
Soy boys. He just babbles that sexist, homophobic garbage, and it just oozes out of his slimy mouth, and it's just part of his patter. And I guess the people that like him for it. Where does that term come from? Soy boys. Well, once again, sorry. It's a trans slur. Because soy contains something called phytoestrogens. And phytoestrogens, well, estrogen, of course, that's that girly hormone. And so a soy boy is a male who is deemed to not be sufficiently macho and masculine, you know, like Steve Bannon is. Because, you know, I see his burbling face, and the first thing I think is, by God, that right there, that is American manhood. Ugh. God damn, I tell you what, I got on the scales today. I need to lose some weight. I've been trying. It gets a little more difficult under present circumstances. I have a feeling I'll be losing some. But I need to shed a few pounds. Maybe it's all that soy. Wait a minute. Okay. I had some tofu the other day. But people that he disagrees with must be, of course, not sufficiently masculine. Disgusting. It's the nastiest kind of ad hominem attack. Which is kind of what I've been getting at. I mean, we have our fun here. But when it comes down to it, we can take every issue and deal with it on a strictly issue-based platform. But soy boys. See, if you don't get in line with people who blindly follow fascism, that must mean that you're a soy boy. And I'm not promoting violence. I don't believe in violence. But if Steve Bannon were to waddle up to one of the men in this community who are not uninspiring, and some pretty good physiques out there, and call them a soy boy for being a liberal, how far do you think Steve Bannon's teeth would wind up in the back of his throat? Just wondering. Soy boys. And of course, the other people use this too. Outfits like the Free Percenters and the Oaf Keepers and the Proud Boys and the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters Executive Staff, you know.
And they understand that. They understand it. The thing they fear is the righteous indignation of the working class in this country. And now they're seeing it. And that's why they're in meltdown. The story, I gave this talk to these appointees, and here's what I said. We're winning big in 2022. We're going to win big in 2024. We need to get ready now. Right? We control this country. We got to start acting like it. And one way we're going to act like it, we're not...
Really? We control this country. When are we going to start acting like it? Imagine being so ethically and morally and intellectually bereft that you actually hire this guy to come and lecture you about how to be more masculine.
We're not going to have 4,000 ready to go. We're going to have 20,000 ready to go, and we're going to pick the 4,000 best and the most ready in every single department. And that's when we really start to deconstruct the administrative state. That's talking of CPAC. And they're always trying to destroy. No. We're trying to get an FDA that works. We're trying to get a CDC that works. By the way, about the administrative state, why was the testing so bad? They never want to talk. Why is the testing so bad? Joe Scarborough, Morning Joe, Brian Williams, Rachel Maddow. Why was the testing so bad at the beginning of the pandemic? Because the CDC had an inside deal with guys that had been at CDC. They didn't have the testing rate. That's the administrative state. You look at these institutions, they're rotten to the core. They need to be rejuvenated, and they will be rejuvenated, okay? Starting with the FBI and the Justice Department. Yep. So we're winning. Remember, in psychological warfare, which is the most, that's the vanguard of warfare today, in unrestricted warfare, in modern warfare. It's not kinetic, it's psychological. The psychological warfare operation is to break your will to resist, to make you believe that resistance is futile.
To make you believe that reality is real. Whereas, of course, anything being peddled by this miserable insurrectionist, this sorry-ass traitor, this filthy turncoat, this ugly fascist, that's a fantasy world the maggots want to live in.
It's going to be 10 new states. It's going to be 50 new justices. Look at all the people curled up in the fetal position on the afternoon of January 20th of 2021. That it was all over. And no, this show, but most importantly, because we're all interchangeable, you, this audience, said, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen. That didn't happen before in the Revolution. That didn't happen in the Civil War. That didn't happen in the Great Depression or World War II. This is just the fourth turning. Been there, done that. We've seen this before, right? It's going to be fine. We're not going to...
You got that? Since no one's been put against a wall... And no one's found themselves at the end of a rope or on the horizontal crucifix as a result of the insurrection and the deaths that occurred from it on January 6th. These fuckers are emboldened. Y'all, they're gonna do it again. Wait, says Brother Deacon Asa. The guy formerly in charge of Biosphere 2, a group of granola-eating fools who tried to recycle their urine into drinking water inside a glass cave, is disparaging soy boys? Bannon is probably the first person who's been able to weaponize irony. Okay, that's good. But they're not getting meaningfully punished. So... They actually think, I mean, imagine this, imagine the twisted mindset that is required to think that January the 6th, 2021, was Lexington and Concord. Mother Muckery. And he's out there trying to gin it up again. Because he and his ilk cannot win in the marketplace of ideas. They cannot win on the battlefield of debate. So they do what nasty-ass fascists always do. And they resort to punk-ass violence. Oh, and by the way, with just a little bit of time remaining in the program, thank you so much, Christopher. Thank you, Christopher, so very kindly indeed for getting us off the schneid. And making sure that this evening was not a zero. Thank you so much. And a note coming in from Steve in New York. Soy boy? Oh, and by the way, it is spelled, for those of you wondering at home, S-O-Y-B-O-I. Because even, you know, Jesus Christ. Steve says, I'm not a particularly physical specimen. However, having played hockey as a goalie for 40-plus years with all the requisite 100-mile-an-hour pucks to the nuts, elbows to the head, and sticks to the ribs, this, you can say it, F-word, I won't say it, would punch the face off this fucknut. I understand. Backpfeifengeschicht? Is that it? Somehow it's wandered away, it wandered onto a brain cell of mine somewhere along the way. But the punishment is not meaningful, and so, therefore, they will, and probably are, and most certainly already are, planning to do it again. Which leads us to Robert Palmer. No, not that Robert Palmer. not the addicted to love Robert Palmer. This is just some maggot dude in an American flag hoodie from Tampa, Florida. Well, he entered a guilty plea to attacking Capitol Police with a fire extinguisher at the January 6th attack on constitutional governance in the capital of the United States. He had his sentencing hearing today. And his pettifogger stood before the judge and talked about how much regret Robert Palmer has for having been caught in the insurrection. Oh, I mean, for participating in the insurrection. Mm-hmm. Reporting said Palmer told the U.S. District Court Judge Tanya Chutkan he was the one identified in Department of Justice images who threw a wooden plank at police, sprayed a fire extinguisher at officers until it was empty, then threw the empty fire extinguisher canister at the line of police. Yeah. So, he entered a plea of guilty to felony assault on law enforcement. And that tough guy from January 6th, all of a sudden, I guess, found his inner soy boy because he broke down and blubbered and bawled and probably came near pissing himself as his pettifogger, Bjorn Brundvand, allowed him to bawl on his suited shoulder. But never missing an opportunity to make a plea before the court, Bjorn Brundvand said, "That was Mr. Palmer being remorseful for what he did on January 6th and also afraid of what's to come." What, 12 days in fucking jail? So he entered his guilty plea today. His sentencing will probably be sometime, oh, I don't know, in the next Trump administration. Jesus Christ, you realize if that motherfucker gets elected again, every last one of the insurrectionists will be fucking pardoned. And not just him. Maybe, how about Rona death sentence? He'd pardon the insurrectionists, wouldn't he? Goddamn Josh Hawley sure as shit would. I don't know what he was crying about. Nothing's going to come of it. Because it doesn't seem like anything has so far. Nothing in there about him signing off on agreeing to drop the dime on the people higher up who weaponized him and made him an insurrectionist, or took his willingness and transformed will into action. Nope. Mm-mm. And it kind of makes me think that the pants wetting of the Americans for limited government that we talked about at the beginning of the program is probably not exactly sincere, because they know that none of these fuckers ever do any time in prison for the violence that they perpetrate against people who are simply trying to serve the public. I mean, the media is having a goddamn conniption over some young women following a senator into a restroom, but somehow or another, the power of conniption is not nearly as strong when you're talking about somebody who threw a heavy metal fire extinguisher at Capitol Police. Nah. So that. Which brings us to the end of the program. And thank you to our dear sister, Jude. Jude just took us down a little further on fundraising. Or not a little further. Took us further down on fundraising with a note. If we focus on the strength of this community's ability to reach an understanding of the other, even when it requires further attention, this is positive and good. If we lose ground and seek not to regain it, well, we become fractured. but being fractured is a space to also heal. Are we willing? Do I hear yes? Yes, Jude. Yes. And thank you. And so, like I said, here we are at the end of the program. It has been, I have enjoyed it immensely. How about you? I hope you have. And back tomorrow for prayer meeting Wednesday. Shouldn't be, barring the internet going sideways, there shouldn't be any interruptions this week, please. I hope. Thank you to each and every one of you, Patreon and PayPal subscribers, for supporting the program and being partial sponsors thereof and helping keep it on the air. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. That means this evening, thank you to Christopher and thank you to Jude. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this long-running conversation in whatever manner you so choose. It really does matter. I'm so glad people get benefit from it. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve earlier in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way in a little under an hour, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice. And now, a union shop. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of the House of Representatives and ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AHEC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. Please stay safe. Hey, I got my flu shot today. My left arm is now sore where my right arm was, but it'll go away. And I feel better for having done it. Even feels a little bit patriotic, just like, yeah. It means I care about my community, which is awesome. And it means when you get it that you do too. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer liberally. Take it with you everywhere you go. Pocket, purse, backpack, European-style messenger bag, what have you. Maintain your social distance. Wear your mask. You know, that's one nice thing out of all of this. There are now cute N95 masks out there. Yay. And of course, if somebody comes towards you burbling about how Merrick Garland's going to crack down on First Amendment, avoid that person like the plague. Because they are. Later.